This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله. When the sun sets now Maghrib today, a new chapter of this Ramadan opened up. And alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed us with 20 days of fasting, 20 days of ibadah, and may Allah accept from us. But now, as we said, like the real serious part of Ramadan comes. The best of Ramadan is now with us. And all the gifts and all the mercies that Allah has bestowed upon us, what happens in these 10 days, you can't compare to any other time of the year. We are now in the holiest nights of the year. From now until next week, Jumu'ah basically, these are the holiest nights of the year. In these nights, more forgiveness than any other nights of the year. More mercy, more blessings. And we need to always consider that this could be our last 10 nights that we ever experience. And we think about, subhanAllah, where we are with our scales of goodness. We think of, as Surah Kaf mentioned, we will be given a record. How is our record sitting with Allah? How many years have gone by where we have never made Qiyamul Layl? We have never fasted. We haven't done enough charity. How many sins have we done? A lifetime of mistakes. These 10 days can fix all of that. These 10 days, these 10 nights, if we do it properly, we can have all our sins forgiven. And we can have a lifetime of good deeds given to us. This is the opportunity. Think of, we know of Jannah, the rewards of Jannah, the pleasures of Jannah. We know of Jahannam and the evils and the dangers of Jahannam. And between us are these 10 nights. These 10 nights can determine our destination, whether in Jannah or Jahannam. So may Allah grant us the strength to appreciate every moment, every second in these last 10 nights. In particular, the odd nights. Like we said, this tonight is an odd night, one of the 21st night of Ramadan. It could be that night, as we said, Laylatul Qadr. We've spoken about it many times. What is Laylatul Qadr? In this 10 nights, there's going to be a night where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will decree whether we are successful, whether we are healthy, whether our money has barakah, whether our kids are successful, whether we will live. This will be decreed in one of these nights, and our du'as are mustajab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can decree goodness for us. In one of these nights, Jibreel alayhi salam, who does not visit the dunya anymore. Why? His job is to send down revelation. Since the death of the Prophet salam, Jibreel's job is done. But he comes down one night in the year, Laylatul Qadr. One of these nights he's coming down. And it was the custom of the people of the past that they would wear fine clothing and they would, you know, beautify themselves in the last 10 nights, because they said, who knows, Jibreel might enter upon us to give salam to those who are doing good deeds. May Allah grant that Jibreel comes to our gathering in ibadah. And of course, there is this night worth 1,000 months, worth 84 years of fasting, 84 years of ibadah, 84 years of charity. Just one of those nights, it's coming up now. Could be tonight, could be one of these 10 nights. So every moment counts. And how do we get this night? The Prophet, peace be upon him, says, whoever stands in salah on the night of Laylatul Qadr with iman, with sincerity, and in his mind or her mind, he's contemplating the reward, fearing the punishment, love for Allah, he's sincere in his salah, whether it's 5 minutes, whether it's 5 hours, Allah doesn't say how long it must be. But you just stand in salah sincerely in the night of Laylatul Qadr, all your sins are forgiven. All our sins are forgiven. So the opportunity is there for us. Ameen. What should we do? So we know what's at stake. What did the Prophet ﷺ do? The Prophet, Aisha tells us, the Prophet, peace be upon him, when the last 10 nights of Ramadan came, he would now increase in ibadah. He tied his pants. It could mean that he became serious, or it could mean that he avoided sexual relations with his wives. Number two, he went into itikaf. If those of us are able to do so, this is the best thing we could do. But he would spend the entire 10 nights in the masjid. And he stayed the entire night up in prayer, in salah. And he woke his family up and encouraged them as well. The best deed you could do during the last 10 nights is how many rak'ahs, how many hours, minutes you can put mileage on your musalla. That's the best thing you can do. Spend as much time in salah, reciting of the Quran. If you haven't memorized much of the Quran, you can take the Quran and you can stand with it and recite from the mushaf. You can stand with it and recite, no problem. And make a point in your sujood or in your ruku, prolong it and make dua to Allah. Thank Allah for the blessings He's given us. Ask Him for the forgiveness for the sins that we have done. Ask Allah to bless us with a good life, a good death, and grant us Jannatul Firdaus. As we said before, each one must think about what inspires you, what motivates you. Think about, for some people it's the fear of Jahannam. For some people it's that entering the Jannatul Firdaus on Fridays when you get to speak to Allah. That's what I can, you know, we can get in these 10 days. I mean, and then just a question. So what about our sisters that are in the Hayd? If the best thing to do in the last 10 nights is to make salah, then what about the sister, subhanAllah? If she's in the Hayd, she can't perform salah. So for her, she should also continue to wake up in the evenings. And she would do other forms of ibadah. She should still make dhikr, she should still make dua. And it's controversial, but inshallah it's fine. She can even recite the Quran, so long as she doesn't touch the mushaf. She doesn't touch it or touch the screen, or she wears a glove, this is fine. But she should continue in ibadah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, will never ever shorten the reward for someone, you know, because it's not in their ability. And then lastly, remember the dua. Aisha asked the Prophet ﷺ, what dua should I make on Laylatul Qadr? So make as much as you can. Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anna. Allah, Allah, erase our sins, because you are the one who loves to erase, so erase our sins. And imagine your records, our records of sin being cleaned, our book being given clean at the end of Ramadan. May Allah grant all of our records to be clean at the end of Ramadan. We continue and we end the story now with Musa and Khidr alayhi salam. So yesterday, Khidr basically expelled Nabi Musa from his school. He said, okay, this is the place where we separate. Three times, three strikes, you're out. He asked him about the boat. He asked him why you killed the boy. He asked him why you're building this wall. So Khidr said, now we're going to separate from each other. You do not have, you can't have patience with me. You're not a student that is patient with his teacher. But I will explain to you why I did the things that I did. As for the ship, we said that yesterday, Khidr said that this boat belonged to a group of poor people, and they're good people, they allowed us to come on this boat for free, so I damaged it because further down the river, or on the ocean, there is going to be a king who's going to capture their boat. And this king, when he inspects the boat and he sees there's a damage in it, he will leave it and they will keep their boat. So their boat will be saved. Because of their charity, their boat was saved. Now, the second thing, what was the second thing Khidr did? He killed the boy. So Khidr says, وَأَمَّا الْغُلَامِ. As for the boy, فَكَانَ أَبَوَاهُ مُؤْمِنَيْنِ. His two parents were believers. They were good, pious people. فَخَشِينَا. And we feared, أَنْ يُرْهِكُهُمَا تُغْيَانًا وَكُفْرًا. That he should oppress them and in rebellion and disbelief. فَأَرَدْنَا أَنْ يُبَدِلَهُمَا رَبُّهُمَا. So we intended that their Lord should change him. خَيْرًا مِنْهُ زَكَاتًا وَأَقْرَبُ رُحْمًا. Should substitute him for one who is better in righteousness and nearer to mercy. So Allah, and this shows you, this is the evidence that Khidr is a Nabi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed Khidr that this boy would grow up to become rebellious, to become evil, to become bad, and so bad that he will force his own parents into kufr. His own parents would be misguided through him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted this boy to be removed, and Allah replaced him with a better son. Now, pause here for a minute. Imagine how those parents would have felt when the young boy went out to play, and some stranger just came and snapped and killed their son. Imagine. And they were good people, mu'minain, pious people. How do you think they felt? How do you think despondent and despair, and subhanAllah, we cannot make light about losing a child. Because, and just on that note, it's a beautiful hadith. Allah says, this hadith, the Prophet says, when the angel of death takes the soul of a child, then Allah asks the angel of death, and Allah knows obviously the answer. Allah asks the angel of death, what did you do? So the angel of death said, I took the soul of the child. And then Allah will say, did you take the soul of the apple of his eye, the thing that he loves so much? And the angel of death will say, yes. And then Allah asks the angel of death, and how did my slave respond? So the angel of death, when he said, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, that verily from Allah we come, and to him we ultimately return, and he gave hamd, he praised you. Then Allah says, now you angel of death, be a witness that I've built for him a palace in Jannah, and this palace is going to be called the palace of hamd, of praise. He's praiseworthy, he's going to get a high place in Jannah. Prophet ﷺ says, a parent who loses a child, there can be no substitution for that kind of heart, and he bears it patiently. There can be no substitution except Jannah. Only Jannah is the only reward Allah can give you. And a lady whose son had passed away, or a child had passed away, the Prophet had said, you have now been protected with a very, very thick layer of protection from the fires of Jahannam. Losing a child, as we said, is difficult. And it's perhaps one of the most difficult things that to go through. But worse than that, worse than losing a child, is for to know a child growing up and growing up on disbelief. That becomes a disappointment. That becomes bad or becomes evil, this subhanAllah is even more difficult. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved this child from becoming a disbeliever, and Allah replaced this child with another one that would be better. So these pious people, now also look at the analogy, this and in the next story, Allah saved the children through the piety of the parents. Allah saved the children because their parents were pious. Allah made sure that the one child passed away, and he's going to Jannah because he's a child, and Allah gave a better child in return. Also, it shows us when Allah takes something from us, and if we have sabr and patience, Allah will give something better in return. So Allah took the one child, but because they were patient, Allah gave them a better one in return. And this is the rule with Allah, this is the principle of Allah. Then the last one was the wall. They went in the city and Khidr built up the wall. So Khidr says, وَأَمَّا الْجِدَارُ, as for the wall, فَكَانَ لِغُلَامَيْنِ يَتِيمَيْنِ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ وَكَانَ تَحْتَهُ كَنْزٌ لَهُمَا وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا فَأَرَادَ رَبُّكَ أَنْ يَبْلُغَ أَشُدَّهُمَا وَيَسْتَخْرِجَ كَنْزَهُمَا رَحْمَةً مِنْ رَبِّكَ وَمَا فَعَلْتُ عَنْ أَمْرِي. So Khidr says, and as for the wall, it belonged to two orphan boys in the town, and there was underneath it a treasure belonging to them. So under this wall, there was a treasure which belonged to two orphan children in the city. There was a treasure hidden under the wall. And their father was a righteous man again. Their father was a good man, a salih man, a pious man. And Allah wanted that they should grow up, become strong, and when they were at the right age, they would take the treasure out as a mercy from Allah. So Khidr says, and I did not of this of my own accord. I didn't do any of this of my own will, my own desire. This is the reason, ذَلِكَ تَأْوِيلِ مَا لَمْ تَسْتَدِعْ عَلَيْهِ صَبْرًا, that is the reason why I did, and that is from which you could not hold patience about. This is the reason, the explanation of it. Once again, we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the third story protect the financial well-being of the kids in the future through the piety of a father. Father had died many years ago, and those kids went through difficulty, and they must have made dua, protect my kids, the dua. But Allah already accepted that dua, but the timing was coming when it was the right time. That if they got the wealth early, they would have wasted it. So Allah kept that dua, He accepted it, and He protected the kids, but at the right time, at the right place. When they grew up, and then they would have taken from the wealth. So Allah, this whole journey, Allah allows Nabi Musa to look into this issue of qada and qadr. When Allah sees the past, the present and the future, Allah knows best. Allah knows when is the right time for us to liberate Palestine. May Allah grant that to happen in our time. Ameen. Allah knows best when we should get rizq, when we should get drought. If we just maintain and we do our part, then whatever decisions happen, and this is the way of the believer, the Prophet, peace be upon him, says, and I end up with this hadith, the Prophet says, how amazing is the affair of the believer. Whatever afflicts him is good. When he gets blessings, he thanks Allah and he uses blessings to further his goodness. And when he's afflicted with musibah, he understands, maybe Allah is giving me this now so that he can give me something better around the corner. So this is also good. He praises Allah and he thanks Allah. So whatever happens to him, he's always in the shukr and the hamd of Allah. May Allah grant us to be steadfast. May Allah grant us to praise him and bless him. And all the best, inshallah, with the remainder of this month. We continue tomorrow with the story of Dhul Qarnayn, inshallah. Ameen. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As for our quiz, last night's question, we asked... question last night, who's poorer, the miskin or the faqir? Which one is poorer? Faqir. The faqir is poorer because the miskin had the boat. And as for tonight's question, why did Khidr rebuild the wall that was about to collapse? A, to make sure no one is injured, or under the wall was a grave. C, there was a treasure buried under the wall. Or D, the wall was on a sacred spot. So, why did Khidr rebuild the wall? Easy answer. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.